Hi, this is David Kay, and you're listening to Altered Geek. Geek.
Get altered, get geeky, it's a wild ride. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name.
Oh, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello, I am here, I think. I don't know anymore.
He's not waiting, though, because we're here.
We're tired of the wait. The waiting is over.
The waiting is over, yes.
Right here, right now.
Yes. So if you're listening to this episode right around this time, you've probably heard some of the top 100 nominees. Yep. And there's some awesomeness coming with that as well for the listeners. But we're also going to be pushing further and further as 2026 is right around the corner, and we're gearing up for the next top 100 animated series countdown, and it's the 15th anniversary of that countdown.
Of the first one, yep.
Yes. Well, of the first one we did, but also the first animated series one. And
that's what, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I meant like the series itself, like the countdowns.
Yep. Okay.
And the animated series. So it's both.
It's both. Yeah. Okay.
So I am super excited for this, not only in the evolution of technology on the website since the initial one, but also in the fact that we've got new shows and there's going to be a totally different top 100 because we're also limiting the nominee pool as opposed to before where you had anything in the thousands being chosen.
Yeah. Yeah, we've given you guys 250 shows to choose from. So it's going to be much easier to make your top 100 lists this time. It's not going to be as difficult as it was 15 years ago. And even though there is more choice this time, I mean, it's funny because even though we've limited it, there is still more choice because, as you said, it's 15 years later than when that first top 100 animated series was done specifically. And just looking at that original list, wowzers, literally wowzers, Inspector Gadget. I'll get you, Gadget. But yeah, no. And part of my journey into doing that is we always say, we've said this, I don't know, since probably 2014, 2015. Give it the 5-episode rule, whatever it is, TV show, cartoon, because I view TV, I think of a TV show cartoon as, even though a cartoon technically is shown on television, I consider them TV show, live action, cartoon, cartoon is animation. So I look at them two separate categories. But we've always said at least give it the 5-episode rule. So you at least watch the first 5 episodes of the first season. And my mission between now and the time we start recording for the top 100 animated series for 2026 is to watch as much Simpsons as I possibly can.
Why would you torture yourself?
Well, okay, so
it's good for a while, but then it just kind of gets old.
Okay, but I don't know that, though, because I don't remember. The last time I actively watched The Simpsons was somewhere around season 6 or 7, which was very long ago. And I've caught it here and there. The Stonecutters. What was the other episode? There was an episode like a couple of years ago. Not getting political, but like when Trump was first elected, there was an episode that they were like, oh, everybody should watch this episode of The Simpsons because it's The Simpsons and they're doing something because of real life. Like, okay, fine, whatever. But I haven't actively watched in years. And the whole point of me going back and watching as much as I can up until we start production of the next evolution, the next version, the next edition of the top 100 animated series countdown is to see if it is still top 10 number one or number two worthy. Because most of the lists that we had back in the original top 100 animated series, our countdown and the other countdowns we had researched, I should say Optimus Solo had researched at the time, listed The Simpsons as the number one animated series of all time. It's 15 years later. They're over 700 episodes. They're still going. They're over, I don't even know how many episodes that are over now. So I wanted to go back to the beginning. I wanted to go back to my childhood, essentially, and see if the show is truly as good as it was, and if it is still number one of all time, number top 10 of all time worthy. I'm only up to episode. So how I'm doing this is I'm watching it season by season, obviously, but I'm going to watch it one season at a time and then write a blog about that season. I don't know how far I'll get between the time that between now and the time we start the production on the top 100 next year, but I'm going to do the best I can. So far, I've only watched 7.5, 8 episodes of the first season. And out of those, let's say just for number's sake, 8 episodes, I remember 4 of them vividly. I remember 4 of them vividly watching them as a child from 89 to, well, 80 from 1989 when I was 9 years old. Bart the Genius, which was, I don't know which episode number it is off the top of my head, but it's in that first 9. Santa's Little Helper was the first episode. There was another one. Oh, God, I'm not even looking at my notes. I should be. But anyway, the point is, is that I've found myself at the end of this year, with 2025 being the year that it's been for me, I've needed stuff to fill a void that I just, I don't know, dude. I come out here to my desk and I think, oh my God, I have all this stuff I need to do. And then I just sit here and I just zone out. I don't know what the hell. So I've engrossed myself in certain shows and certain things. And two of those shows we will talk about later in the episode. But now this project leading up to my own personal project leading up to the top 100 animated series gives me something to do and something to quote unquote report on by the time we get to the production. And I will have however many blogs written up that I'll have after the fact. So I have notes. Go to the notes. So far, I'm having fun doing it because, like I said, there are certain episodes that I absolutely remember. And then there are some episodes so far where I'm just like, I don't remember this at all. And then there are episodes where I'm like, oh, wow, they really tackled that issue really well. Like there's an episode in season one where I was surprised, not how well they tackled the issue, but they approached it in a way that I didn't remember television approaching bullying that back then. It was really cool and really interesting. I'm trying to pull up my notes here. Which episode was this? Bart the General. Okay, yeah. Season 1, Episode 5, Bart the General. Do I smell cupcakes? Do I ever? Okay, Homer, enough with your cupcakes. So this is, and the interesting thing about The Simpsons is some of the lines, like I'm taking notes before I actually write the blogs. So I'm taking notes on every episode, and then I'm going to condense all of that into whatever the season one blog is going to be. Part of my notes is writing down where certain lines debut or certain lines come from and things like that. And in this episode, oh my God, Bart made, no, seriously. I'm saying this because they say it in the episode. Oh my God, Bart made Nelson bleed. Nelson's like, no, that's probably some other kid's blood. I get other kids' blood on me all the time. And then Nelson realizes he has a bloody nose and he turns and looks at Bart and he's like, you made me bleed my own blood. Nobody makes me bleed my own blood. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't, I'm pretty sure that came from somewhere else first. Cause I remember that line from some other movie. Actually, no, it might've come from The Simpsons because what I remember it from is Dodgeball. Dwight Goodman said it in Dodgeball to Peter LaFleur. But if The Simpsons is where it came from, or if The Simpsons got it from somewhere else, I'm like, oh my God, I remember that line kind of thing. But this is the episode where Bart gets bullied. And we see how, as he's getting bullied by Nelson, how both Homer and Marge, how both of their approaches affect him, where Marge is telling him to talk to the bully, do this with the bully, try to approach the bully in a kind way, or go to the principal and tell the school and let them know, kind of thing, where Homer's like, here's what you do, kid. You go up to him and you kick him in the nuts and you do this and you do that and you stand up to him. And standing up to somebody is fine, but you don't go up to somebody, even if they're bullying you, you don't go up to them and kick them right back in the nuts. You just don't. It's not going to work. It just isn't. So the point is, looking through my notes here, not trying to take up the whole episode with my Simpsons note-taking here, but it's interesting going back through The Simpsons season one. Is the point. So yeah.
Yeah, a lot of my favorite Simpsons material dates back to the 90s and kind of watching it during that time, and then the Halloween episodes are always my favorite.
Yep. Yep, yep. Absolutely. All right, where are we going next?
So, jumping down into the episode from here, you had posted a few things about, like, the computer mattress thing. Which, that was when Amazon had the whole debacle with their
Amazon Web
AWS services. Kind of going to crap.
But it's true though. I think this is an Instagram reel. It was an Instagram reel. And it's so true. Like, I'm all for technology. I'm all for sleep tracking. As long as it's on my phone, not in my bed. Like, my phone can be next to my bed or next to me on the bed. Whatever, that's fine. But like, or you know, if I had, which I don't, and I don't need one of these, but if I had a smartwatch, you know, that's fine, because obviously it's, you know, attached to my body tracking me. But having, like, I know a lot of people, or I know some people, talk about the company 8sleep and how their mattresses have all the tech in them in the world to track your sleep and things like that, and I think that's cool. But the AWS server malfunction just proves that we can't rely on the internet sometimes. And I just want a mattress to be in my mattress.
Yeah. See, I have a sleep number bed.
Mm-hmm.
And technically those are connected through the internet.
Right.
But it's for specific features, like it's for the sleep tracking.
Yeah.
And see, we bought ours
years ago.
No, we bought ours like secondhand.
Oh, okay.
Like a year ago. Because like I have different sleeping needs for my back than my wife, and it's a combined bed. Like it's two separate beds with like a connector on it.
It's a split thing. Yep.
Yeah. However, I have to have my back elevated and my feet somewhat just so that one, it's, you know, it's blood flow, but it's also the fact that I cannot lay flat.
Right.
And I can make it as, you know, the bed as firm or soft as I need to, because it's, you know, it's air inside of it and whatever, but it's controlled with a remote and all of the features. However, like this particular unit of the Sleep Number, it's older, so the call to home feature doesn't work.
Okay.
For that feature, plus I think you have to register it, and we didn't care to do that. We're like, I just need it for the, you know, the firmness setting, for the, you know, the ability to lift the mattress up or, you know, down or whatever. And so ours won't have that issue, but I know a lot of people that have theirs connected with Amazon. It was going haywire, like it was crunching them, getting them stuck. It was overheating because some of them heat up, and I mean mine doesn't, but yeah, some of them do. And I was just like, how horrible would that have been had it like burned somebody's house down and had them trapped in it? And I'm thinking, how would the bed have trapped you in the bed to the point you couldn't have like crawled out?
Well, so it's interesting you say that. So my bed is a Purple mattress. I think it's a Purple mattress level 3. We had gotten it back in 2019. So it's 8 years old now, almost something like that, 7-8 years old, whatever. And what we got with it, well, the only thing that it really has is it's supposed to have cooling technology, because that's what I liked about the Purple mattress at the time, was it had cooling technology in it, because I need to be cool. At the time, Karen and I were both having medical issues where we had to sleep separately. So she got her own mattress. I got my mattress. Basically, we were an old married couple that she was 40, I don't know, she's 5 years older than, she was 5 years older than me at the time. Anyway, point is, we each had our own things. And on mine, I wanted the cooling technology and I wanted an adjustable base. So for me, it's the base that's adjustable. It's not the mat. So that's what adjusts the mattress. And the adjustable base from Mattress Firm has a gravity setting where if you hit the gravity setting, the head of the bed, the top of the thing is going to come all the way up, and it's not going to come all the way up and over, but it comes there could be a possibility of somebody getting, like, if you did it in the right way and it malfunctioned in the wrong way, whatever. Luckily mine is just plug and play. It's just AC power, AC/DC power. So it's not as high tech as some of the ones of today, thank God. But there are ways that people could get trapped where you, trust me, some of these mattresses and mattress bases, they could be car crushers. And it's not funny. I'm laughing, but it really, really isn't funny, because if your bed is controlled by the internet, you're screwed if the internet goes out.
It essentially makes it useless.
Mm-hmm. Don't buy a bed if it's controlled by the internet. Buy a bed as long as it's not controlled by the internet.
Well, remember when I was it was a number of years ago. I think it was 2019. 2018, yeah, 2019, mm-hmm. where I was during one of my layoffs, I was writing tech articles, and we had to write one about the Internet of Things.
Yes.
And they had like smart toilets, smart toaster, smart, like, and I'm like, why do we need all of these things with that are so-called smart? It's like, we don't need everything connected to the internet. Yeah. We really don't.
No.
It's just more crap to go wrong too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's gonna be, I don't know if this world is going to make it to 2505, dude. I just don't know if it's going to make it to 2505.
I don't want Idiocracy to be real, but, you know. I get it. So, yeah, and then you had this other post.
This one gets me because it is it's another. So here's the thing, folks, like, we find news in the craziest ways nowadays. It's not just looking for articles through Google search or through Google. Like, I use my Google feed all the time, but I verify it to make sure it's a reputable website. And oh boy, are we going to talk about Variety? Oh God, we're going to talk about Variety. Okay, so really quickly, Variety. I don't know who screwed up over there in their research, but did you see that with the Gremlins?
That the third movie is in production?
Yeah, but did you see what they originally wrote about it?
No, I did not.
Okay, so let me see if I can pull this up on my, because I made a post about it on Facebook. Let me see if I can pull. Anyway, so the article I have here is about streaming and whatever, and how streaming is basically cable now because you have to have every streaming service everywhere. And that's basically what that reel is them going through YouTube TV and Disney Plus and Hulu, which is actually owned by Disney Plus now, and Netflix and this and that, and they go through all the costs and all of this and all of that and what it's actually going to cost you to. It's more about the sports of it all right now, because sports, specifically American major league sports like NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, specifically NFL games, because of blackout dates and blah, 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 and all that. It's like you need to have every single network and all the costs that can incur. It's just crazy. But if you add up, if you want to go monthly, we can go monthly. If you want, I love annual billing. If I can go to a streaming service and pay one fee per year, like, I know everyone got all up in arms about the Disney Plus thing, the annual billing increasing from, like, I don't know, I think it was $120. It went to $140 per year. Look,
they're changing it to even higher.
I know it's going to go up. I always know it's going to go up. No, and that's by like
$100.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there was an article about it the other day.
Oh, geez. Okay, well, if it's going to go up by $100, it might not be worth it anymore. But anyway, the point is, when it went up this last time, I was like, oh, okay, well, it's worth it because I watch more than enough stuff on Disney Plus right now plus it has Hulu, plus it has this, and plus, no Disney minus. So yeah, we have to have all of the streaming services, which is basically cable online. So the Gremlins thing. I wrote this. I used to think Variety was a great source of news. This just proves it all wrong. I know everyone else has already told Variety this, but it was Joe Dante that directed those original films. We don't need this. We don't need Gremlins 3. Stop this stuff right now. Just know, don't and stop. So what they said was, Gremlins 3 will open in theaters November 19th, 2027. Chris Columbus returns as director with Steven Spielberg executive producing. No, that's not what's happening. Chris Columbus did not direct the original two films. He wrote the original. He was a writer at the original two. Like, how do you get that wrong? Like, in your research, your Variety, you are one of the biggest publications in this country. How do you get that wrong? Like, do you people not have double check fact checkers? Like, do you
would not also think with them being in Hollywood? So, because I mean, even Animaniacs talked about like Variety speak, you know, and stuff like that in their songs. But now, Gremlins 3 is happening.
No, I know it is.
And that's I get that their information was wrong.
I mean, that was, my point was not about Gremlins 3.
I still don't think we need it.
No.
This is where it kind of ties in, though.
Yeah.
In that it's definitely playing into the nostalgia.
Oh, it is. But the sad thing is, I don't have nostalgia for Gremlins. Okay, look. My nostalgia for Gremlins is, this is so sad and stupid, it's Gremlins 2, and it's one line. How civilized. It's from the brain gremlin when he says that. And that's it. That's my only nostalgia of either one of those movies. Yes, Gizmo is cute. Yes. Ooh, Mogwai. Yay. Like, yeah, fine, great. But Billy Peltzer was a putz. Like, just, oh, God. I haven't watched either of those films. Maybe I need to rewatch. I don't dislike those movies. I have no ill will towards those movies. But those movies, to me, are not on the same level as Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2.
Agreed.
They're not on the same level as Lethal Weapon 1, 2, 3, and 4. They're not on the same level as Die Hard 1, 2, and 3. They're not on the same level as something like Look Who's Talking 1 and 2. Not even close. Like, I like Gremlins 1 and 2, and I know everyone will say, oh, Gremlins 2, how can you like that? That movie sucked. It made it worse. Look, Gremlins 1 and 2 are very similar to Ghostbusters 1 and 2. Gremlins 1 was the more scary one. It was the more horror-themed one. Same thing with Ghostbusters. It was supposed to be the more scary one. And then Gremlins 2 and Ghostbusters 2 is supposed to be the more comedy one. It wasn't as scary as the first one because I'm sure, because Gremlins and Ghostbusters both came out in the same year, 1984. So by the time they got to the sequels, I'm sure all the damn parents groups in 1980s were like, oh my God, we can't take our children to these movies, Bubba, which you shouldn't have been taking your children to see Gremlins. What's wrong with you? Even though I saw Gremlins when I was a kid, because I was raised right to realize that fiction is fiction. Even though the line didn't come until Jane Silent Bob Strike Back, 1990. Yeah, I forget what year that came out. But when Ben Affleck says, fictional character, like, I don't know, whatever, dude. But, like, seriously, I just don't know. Like, I don't even remember the ending to Gremlins 2. That's how far, how long separated I am from the last. I don't remember the last time I watched Gremlins 2. I remember one line. Oh, how civilized. Like, that's all I remember from that movie. And I don't know if by 2027, anyone will be ready for a Gremlins 3. Like, they're announcing this stuff now in 2025. So the production's starting now or starting next year, maybe. I forget what the actual news article said off the top of my head without looking it up again. But yeah, it takes 2 years to do production. Okay, fine. Hopefully people are ready for Gremlins 3 in 2027. People might be ready now based off the excitement of the announcement, but who the hell knows where this country is going to be in 2027? Seriously. Like, who knows? No, I'm not trying to go deep or anything, but I'm being serious. Like, we don't know where the hell we're going to be in 2027. Hopefully recording all the podcasts here at the Geekcast Radio Network.
I think we'll be fine. It's gonna be it's gonna be the same thing, different day. But no, I do find it interesting that old movies,
yes,
are now the streamers' moneymakers instead of trying to produce new stuff. Now, I'm not saying that some of the new stuff hasn't been good.
Uh-huh.
Because I've enjoyed a lot of the new Netflix originals or sequels like Beverly Hills Cop 4 or Happy Gilmore 2.
Mm-hmm.
Both were really good, a lot of fun. Very fitting of their universe and kind of doing a nice update.
Yep.
And I mean, I agree with the stats that the things that studios are kind of streaming studios are kind of waking up and seeing what generates return on investment, like, you know, Netflix, Prime Video, Disney Plus, Max, you know, having movies generate 50% of streaming revenue in 2024, you know, up from 27 in 2022. And then, you know, their licensed library titles are now accounting for 2/3 of all movie revenue, which is insane. Because movie theaters don't get a lot of it.
Nope.
Plus you're talking a lot of old stuff. Now, if something that I really wanted to see hit theaters, you know, even limited run around me, I would probably see it. Now, I'm not going to lie. If Star Trek Generations or Star Trek VI went to theater near me, I would 100% go.
Yeah, I know you would.
Because I've never seen Star Trek VI in the theater. And as far as I know, that one hasn't re-released. I know they've done Star Trek V recently, so I'm betting on that. And then Generations was the first Star Trek movie I ever saw in theater.
Yeah.
So I would definitely partake in that because I saw it in theater the first time. It would be nice to see it again as an adult. I was also scarred because they killed Captain Kirk and then... It was right around the time I was like, I think it was like 10 or something. Yeah, maybe it was 8. I don't know. It came out in 94. I think it was 8. And
yeah, you were 8.
It was funny because I had to have cavities.
Oh, no.
Around the same time. And oh, so no. The bribe my parents gave me to deal with the fact that
cavities, you get
I
to
was
go
dealing
to
with
movies.
That and to behave.
Yeah.
They bought me this Star Trek Communicator magazine. On Generations, I got
nice
the Captain Kirk figures and I saw the film.
Nice.
And yeah, so I was pretty enticed. I got some of the ships too, I think, from it, but I don't fully remember all that. But yeah, I mean, it was, and I was holding on to like the Kirk figure, which oddly enough I still have. Mangled the face.
Oh no.
Still have it. I bought a newer one over the years. Like I found it at a convention for like $5 and I bought another one that was like not destroyed.
Right.
So they're both standing side by side in my cabinet, but it's just, it's entertaining as I'll get up.
And my first thought was, dude, you could 3D print a new face for it.
I could, but the problem is getting the paint for the faces. Like I've tried printing Dragon Ball Z faces. You know, heads and like their whole bodies, and I cannot paint those worth anything because it's just a face thing. Like, but no, I'm excited too because, you know, as long as Nacelle Toys actually delivers on their Star Trek figures, they're coming out with like a ton of Generations figures in various waves, and specifically the Kirk and the vest for wave two, which I have pre-ordered on BBTS.
Nice.
Again, provided it comes out, because it's supposed to be the end of 2026 and wave one still has not released.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So we'll see. They've got grandiose plans for five waves already. And I'm like, let's get through wave one and see it actually in people's hands before we, you know, jump the shark here. But
exactly.
But again, you know, back to the licensing, Netflix reported that old, you know, 4-year-old films, the license still pulls significant viewership today. Licensing an existing studio movie costs a fraction of producing a new original series, but delivers higher viewer retention because people want to see it. And then the shift is, you know, dramatic, that streamers are prioritizing licensing older films over creating expensive original content. So kind of the bottom line is, you know, subscribers basically just want to rewatch, you know, whatever it may be on a Saturday night. And licensing a studio's old movie for $5 million keeps more subscribers than spending $100 million on a new series. So that kind of explains why they're all suddenly bidding on movie catalogs and greenlighting way fewer stuff. And speaking of which, like, there's some Christmas movies that come out this time of year and they're on certain streaming platforms. And my family was like, they're like, I want to watch this. I want to watch this. And we were going to look for it and we're like, well, it's not on the platform that actually created it. It's on a totally different one. Like, we ended up finding it on Tubi.
Yep.
And I was like, well, it's free, so that's great.
Yep.
And somehow I don't get ads on Tubi anymore.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why. But no, like, there's literally an ad break and it's about to kick over to it and then it doesn't.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, I have settings, like certain settings for certain Wi-Fis in my house that block ads.
Oh, nice.
So I think it jumps the Tubi ads.
Nice.
Since I did that. And wow. Not that I'm trying to, like, skirt, you know,
right.
The income of Tubi. Like, it was just a happy accident, because I'm like, well, I'm sitting here with my kids. I don't want all these weird ads that come on anymore in streaming. And they're repetitive, too. So it's really bad. Like, Amazon Prime, we used to watch some of the freebies on there.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I have Amazon Prime, but they still make you watch commercials if they own, you know, whatever it is that's on there. And the commercials are very tone deaf to the audience.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want my kids watching these. Like, so, like, I'm more apt to just buy the disc and just kind of say, screw it. Like, I bought, like, my family likes to watch, like, Full House and Little House.
Yep.
And I bought the discs.
Yep.
Did the right thing. Bought them at Walmart.
Yep.
I'm putting them on my computer because, you know, we want to watch different devices in the house and not have to pop in a disc.
Absolutely.
But I bought it. So,
yeah.
But, you know, again, I don't necessarily have a problem paying for a streaming service. My problem is that if I'm going to have it, I want it to keep the programs that I watch.
Yeah.
But that's, if it's not going to keep the programs that I'm going to watch, which this is basically saying, then it's not, like, basically when all of the stuff dries up, it's like, do I keep it? Do I dump it? Do I jump ship to a different one?
Yeah.
In which most cases, that's where it's going to go.
Yeah. Which is it's funny you say that, because honestly, every time we talk about this, we've been saying that since 2009.
Well,
every time, like, when we first did that episode, Netflix, Quickster, and something else, when we, right before we got, you know what, in that email,
we got our lives propositioned for unaliving.
For
not supporting Hulu.
No,
well, of course, technically, we support them now. They're part of Disney.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the thing is, it's funny because back then it was Netflix and Hulu. They were the only two game in town. You either had one or the other, you had both, and the shows would jump. The rights would jump from either or the other. And here we are 15, 16, 17 years later, it's still happening. Shows still jump from service to service to service sometimes. It's crazy.
Yeah, so I mean, it's I like having the option to still watch the shows on, you know, Netflix, and like, yep. I was a big fan of, you know, watching Star Trek on Netflix and Hulu. I mean, you can watch the Kelvin Universe films on Netflix, and I've seen those to the point like I just don't care. Like I saw them, I saw them all in the theater, and I like them for what they are, but they're not rewatchable. I like think, the old
okay,
stuff.
So I haven't seen Star Trek. So we're gonna get to okay, folks. You're gonna get a AAA podcast series from us next year. You're gonna get all things Transformers. You're gonna get Altered Geek, and you're gonna get Altered Trek, because we are doing Altered Trek next year, full time. We have to.
Yeah, we have to knock that out.
We have to knock that out. We also have to finish up. Podcaster Meets Robot, that's a whole other thing. Point is, Altered Trek, I have seen the first two. I have not seen Beyond.
Beyond is actually better than Into Darkness.
Well, I would hope so, because
it's done by the guy that did Fast and the Furious.
Right, that's fine. I would hope so, because Into Darkness is just blah, blah. But Star Trek 2009, that first movie, oh man, that first movie was amazing. I saw that in theaters. I was in theaters for that. And I'm not even I'm Star Trek adjacent over here. And I was in theaters for that in 2009. That movie, it is the second Star Trek film I had seen in theaters my entire life. The first one I saw in theaters was in 1996, which was First Contact.
Nice.
First Contact was the first Star Trek movie I had ever seen in theaters, and I am so glad that First Contact versus Generations was the first one I had seen in theaters, because I love First Contact. And then the next one I had seen in theaters was 2009 Star Trek. And yeah, no, just like, yeah, I'm excited to get to all of that stuff. But what I'm most excited about is getting, I mean, obviously I could rewatch the 2009 Star Trek anytime, but as you all know, if you've heard us before, I watch things to do them on podcasts, and I don't want to watch it now and then watch it again later, because it's going to take us a while to get to that. I don't want to have the memory of the rewatch that I did in 2025 in 2027 when we get to it. I don't know when we're going to get to it, but whatever. You know what I mean? And Into Darkness, I just remember how just Wrath of Khan it tried to be Wrath of Khan and failed, and I've never seen Beyond, so Beyond is gonna, that's my whole point in talking about all of this, is Beyond is gonna be brand new for me, so it's gonna be so interesting to see how they ended that story, because apparently through multiple news sources that I've seen recently, the Kelvin universe is dead. They're not going back and doing a fourth one.
Which, honestly, it's been way too long.
When did
and plus, with out? Anton being gone, and, you know,
yeah, Anton's
the studio screwed the pooch anyway in the third film. They didn't promote it. They didn't do anything. And so it kind of just floundered, even though I felt like it was better than Into Darkness. And Into Darkness was a terrible rehash of the Wrath of Khan.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Star Trek Beyond is 9 years old.
It
Holy
is.
Crap.
That's why I said I think that it's kind of it's gone beyond its time. Now, this is where, and I know we've gone off on a Star Trek tangent. this is where the studio has the opportunity to do Star Trek Legacy, which takes place after Star Trek Picard, has Seven of Nine as the captain of the Enterprise G. Has Picard's son in it, Geordi's daughter. Having a, you know, a plethora of other characters reprising from Picard season three, it opens the door to allowing some of the older cast to return.
Yep.
If they so choose. As well as Liam Shaw, who is one of the friends of Terry Metalis. He would come back as like a emergency hologram for engineering, kind of like the holographic doctor, but he would be for engineering specifically.
Oh, cool.
And so, I mean, they've played out the ideas if they got a series, but it seems like Paramount doesn't want to necessarily, or at least it didn't before Skydance bought them.
Yeah.
And Skydance is very pro Trek and Tom Cruise and everything. So we'll see. I think that this would be their opportunity, though, to push Star Trek Legacy and finally get something off the ground with it before any of the people are unavailable. And I felt like it was, you know, Picard season three was the truest thing we've had in Trek in quite some time.
Right.
So, and rather than doing a rehash or a reboot or a prequel, just keep the story going, man.
Yeah, just keep the story going.
Keep the films going. Like, keep them in the future. Don't keep rehashing. I think that this would go over really well.
Yeah. Oh, man. Skydance. I every time. And I know that's Tom's thing and whatever. And I'm just sitting here thinking, I can't imagine Tom Cruise in Star Trek. Like, I know he's not going to be in it anywhere. At least I hope I don't think he's going to be in it anywhere. But all I can think of is Ethan Hunt in the background trying to spy on somebody in Star Trek. Oh, boy. Hasta lasagna. Don't get any on ya.
But, yeah, I mean, kind of going back to the streaming war.
Yep.
I mean, it's funny because years ago, I remember recording the Geekcast radio episode where we're like, I want a la carte cable. Yep. I want this. I want that. And now we're at that point where it's at that point where it's a la carte and it's on a million streaming services.
Yep.
And I'm sitting here going, I don't have the budget to pay for every one of these. So it's like, which one do I choose and which one do I review content from?
Yeah.
Like, I like Netflix the best out of all of them.
Okay, so it's funny you say that because I recently... So I've had a Netflix account since, I don't know, 2010, 2011, whenever that was. And I've had to change it and do this and do that and make sure, re-verify, blah, 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 because I've had it off and on over the years. And I recently had it billed through Xfinity because it was the easiest and cheapest thing for me to do, was to be able to not have to pay any money up front, just put it on the cable bill. Look, it's a cable service. So I did that, and once I did that and I got signed up and I did all the things and whatever else and everything else, and I went through like my list to see what was even on my list, and I'm like, okay, I remember that, I remember that, I love that, I love that. And then I took a deep dive into every genre that I know I like that they have. So action movies, crime drama type, you know, cop drama type movie type stuff. And I went through all the movies, went through all the TV shows. Outside of some of the superhero shows that are on there, they started showing me everything in, like, I didn't even select this as an option. But they started showing me all the foreign drama stuff or the foreign this or the foreign that. And I'm like, look, folks, I can speak a little French. And that's only because my girlfriend, you know, I learned it because of her, not because of I want to learn it to be able to speak it fluently to everybody else kind of thing. And it's like, what in the hell does Netflix have to offer to me? Literally outside of what's coming up, and I don't know when you're going to publish this, hopefully before or after November 12th. Not trying to rush you into, I'm just saying, I'm doing this so people know that it's coming, or maybe it's already been out. As I was doing this, I'm like, right now, there's only two things on Netflix that I will watch all of the time. That is The Adam Project, and that is Six Underground. There is nothing, like, I haven't opened that app for anything. Like, there's nothing on there for me. Like, there's nothing in there that makes me want to go back and rewatch any of it until I go onto YouTube one morning and I see Netflix's YouTube channel has uploaded an official trailer for Being Eddie, the new Eddie Murphy documentary. And I'm like, okay, Netflix, I got you. All right. Yeah. Okay, podcast time. Coming November 12th, or maybe it already is gone by. But Being Eddie, the new Eddie Murphy documentary. Oh, God, I cannot wait to watch that this week or last week. Or
I've been watching it.
What do you mean you? That's right.
Yeah. It's been interesting so far what I've seen of it.
When you say you've been watching it in 5-second clips before the self-destruct?
No. I've been actually watching it.
Okay.
I just haven't gotten through all of it yet.
Okay.
But, yeah. I feel like streaming is hitting this point where you're either going to have to charge like an astronomical amount, it's going to get a ton of commercials, or they're going to end up consolidating.
Yeah. Well, the consolidation is kind of underway because people are looking to buy, what is it, WB Discovery? Like that whole bidding war thing with who's going to buy them. It changes every friggin' week. This is going to buy them. That's going to buy them. Nope, this one's going to buy them. Nobody's going to buy them. We don't know who's going to buy them. Like, I don't make fun of mental illness. I try my best not to because I have mental illnesses. But literally, it's like a schizophrenic's worst nightmare as to who the hell is going to save Warner Brothers Discovery and who is going to bring them into the fold, whether it's going to be Skydance Paramount, can you imagine if it would be, I don't think it's going to be Disney, but oh my God, that won't be. I know. But if it was, that would be a monopoly upon a monopoly upon a monopoly. You talk about passing go and collecting $200 million. Holy crap.
So I think if anybody's going to buy them right now, I think it's going to be Netflix. They're the only ones that don't own a traditional.
True.
Like Amazon owns, what is it, MGM?
Yep.
And then, you know, Comcast has NBC and Universal. So NBC Universal, you know, Disney's bought up like Pixar, Lucasfilm, Fox, 20th Century Fox, you know, all kinds of other littler ones. New Line Cinema, which was part of Fox. So, I mean, they've got a boatload, too. And then Sony has Columbia.
Well, I forgot about Sony.
So you've got all these other platforms. I know Netflix, they've kind of will they, won't they with it. And I think because a lot of the WB stuff does really well on Netflix, I think they'll buy them. And I know that they've already met with the lawyers on it, and they're currently looking into it, kind of like how Skydance did with CBS Paramount. Yeah. And I know CBS Paramount, Skydance, you know, whatever they want to call themselves this week, I think it's still just Paramount is Skydance company, kind of like how, you know, MGM is an Amazon company and Columbia, Sony company. So I think while Paramount wants them, I don't think they'll let that go through because they're already a legacy studio. Skydance bought Paramount and CBS, and so I don't foresee that. I see Netflix getting it out of any of these groups, which would be beneficial just because of that. Now, the other monkey wrench that goes into that is whoever buys Warner Brothers can also decide to reboot this, the DC Comics universe, DC Studios, once again, which means we'll end up with another incomplete, you know, universe of just doing movies for no reason. So I'm really hoping whoever takes over, whatever direction they go, that they actually just let us get like an entire, you know, DCU for once. Instead of, you know, having what's been going on with them where, oh, we get a couple of films and then we reboot. We get a couple of films where we reboot. Like I'm rewatching the Dark Knight trilogy right now. Just for fun. And it hits differently now than when it did when I saw it. Like I enjoyed it when I saw it, but I actually get it and like really enjoy it. Like I hated Batman Begins when it came out. Between the bat suit and just everything else. And then I didn't like aspects of the Dark Knight Rises, and I really didn't like the Dark Knight Rises. I didn't like the Dark Knight I liked. And I'm starting the Dark Knight Rises now, and I have a better appreciation for it, other than the fact that the music and sound and the vocals and the Dark Knight Rises are, well, we have the Batman. So I don't know. Like, it'd be nice to at least just get another trilogy of something and kind of leave it alone and put it to bed for a while and then start over. I didn't. And I've also got another appreciation for like Man of Steel compared to what I did years ago. And I've seen the new Superman movie, so I have something to compare. Besides, I mean, I've seen the Christopher Reeve stuff, and that stuff's still great. But out of these newer renditions, like I like Man of Steel for some of the aspects it brought, and then I like some of the aspects of the new Superman movie, and some of it I find annoying, and like I have gripes with each one, but I have positives with each. And I think, you know, mixing them together, you have kind of a better Superman. But, you know, that kind of plays into that Screen Rant article I sent you earlier about, you know, the definitive version being, you know, the DCAU, Superman, the animated series.
And the reason why that to Screen Rants, I forget who wrote that article, but to their opinion and to ours is because that was done by Bruce Timm and the DCAU team and all of that. And they, at the time in 1990, Superman the Animated Series, 30th anniversary next year, they, not to say that James Gunn doesn't care, not to say that Zack Snyder didn't care, or but he has, they have their own vision of how to tell the story. And it just seems to me that Bruce Timm and his team did the best job of doing that at the time in 1996. And it just feels like the best Superman stories that were ever told.
Well, and you have Paul Dini too. And he's kind of the creative genius behind a lot of that. As well. Like Bruce Timm was the animator and, you know, the main guy, but Paul Dini was the guy that had some of the most inventive, thought provoking storylines and characters. And so I feel like while Snyder and Gunn each had their own rendition and version of Superman, and I think there's plenty of room for all these different renditions, because I mean, look at the comics, we've got a million of them. But I feel like they were striving to tell a different version or a different type of story with them, whereas we got more of the traditional, but along with some evolution in the DCAU, which we can discuss that in another episode at some point in the future. But like, again, like, I was watching that. I was watching Justice League. I was watching, you know, a lot of Batman Beyond. Those were all on Netflix for a while. And then little by little, they've all left. And
yep.
So, I mean, it's highly frustrating if you just want, you know, to stay on the one platform. You don't want to have to keep shuffling. And I get, like, it's kind of nice in some regards where it's like, oh, you stay there long enough, you'll see different stuff appear, or you'll see different stuff come back. And
yeah,
I'm not opposed to that. It's just sometimes I just want to turn it on and turn on a show and have it as background noise and watch, you know, Interim with some of it and enjoy it for what it is. And I don't want to have to buy another platform. And I don't love everything that Paramount has. I like the Star Trek material, but beyond that, I don't foresee watching much else. And same thing with, like, you know, the HBO Max or, you know, whatever else that they've got over there. Like, I would watch the DCAU and pretty much nothing else.
Oh, the funny thing about Paramount right now for me is I started watching, but they have the NCIS stuff, so I'll watch that. My big thing right now is the NCIS Origins, so it's the story of Mark Harmon's character from the original series, but it's his origin before he became Leroy Jethro Gibbs, the main character of the original NCIS. So it's that, but I had kept seeing various clips of I Love Lucy on Instagram, and I'm like, I wonder where that show is streaming. Let's find out. You can stream all of I Love Lucy on Paramount Plus. Okay, cool. And I started watching I Love Lucy. I'm like 10 minutes into the first episode, and I'm laughing my ass off because it's just hilarious. When it comes to the DCAU stuff, back when they were announced, I think this was 2019, maybe 2018, I immediately, and it was because it came with a Funko Pop version of Batman Beyond. I have the Batman Beyond Blu-ray set. So I have the physical media, but it came with a digital code that I could put into Vudu, now Fandango. So I have both the physical and digital stuff. And funny enough, that I restarted watching Batman Beyond. I think I'm up to like the fourth or fifth episode right now.
Nice.
So I'm not actively watching that because The Simpsons is taking all my time currently on the watching for animation, but it's in the rotation. It's in the rotation. Speaking of what we are watching, I wanted to bring up two shows that I have completely binged. One is currently still going on, and the other has ended, I think, 2 years ago. I think I have to double check that. But the one that's currently still going on is called High Potential. It is American crime drama television series created by Drew Goddard. It is not the same Drew Goddard that I thought it was. I thought it was the same Drew Goddard that did the Masters of the Universe movie in 1987. I think that was Gary Goddard, maybe. But High Potential follows Morgan Guillory, a single mother of three who works as a cleaner at the Los Angeles Police Department. Morgan has an IQ of 160, classifying her as a high-potential intellectual, HPI, when she unexpectedly solves a complex case using her unorthodox thinking and keen observational skills. She is recruited as a civilian consultant for the LAPD's Major Crimes Division. This show is, and the only reason why I know this show, I have to give a shout-out to my buddy. I don't know him that well. We're Facebook friends, but I've read a lot of his articles on Decider and other websites. But Will Harris, Will had shared one of their posts or one of their photos or whatever. And I saw it and I'm like, what is that? And I went to the High Potential Facebook page and I'm like, ooh, okay. I must now find this and watch all of it. ended up binge watching the entire first season, all 13 episodes. I'm like, okay, best new show for me. Started last year in 2024 with the first season. We're in the middle of season two right now. They just did their season two fall finale on a cliffhanger, but it's an interesting way to do a, like, you have these crime drama cop procedurals that basically a dime a dozen, you can throw a dime, you'll get 10 of them kind of thing, or 12, technically a dozen is 12, I should say. But this one just seems different and I like it a lot, and it's funny as hell. It's so comical with like her world and how the police world is, and just, I'm just loving how that's going. And so I'm watching that currently. And then the other series that I just finished, I'm kind of glad I waited on us, or we waited on doing this. It ran from 2018 to 2023. So it ended 2 years ago. A Million Little Things is an American family drama television series created by DJ Nash for ABC. The premise of this is in Boston, yes, you can park your car. A tight-knit circle of friends is shocked after a member of the group unexpectedly dies by suicide. The friends realize that they need to finally start living life as they cope with their loss. The title is a reference to the saying, friendship isn't a big thing, it's a million little things. Karen tried to get me to watch this in 2018 when it debuted. And because Boston, and I'm originally from Boston, and it's how they bond is over the fact that they have season tickets to the Boston Bruins and everything else, and they all wear Bruins jerseys, and it's a whole Boston thing and everything else. And I just wasn't in the right frame of mind to ever watch it. And then she and I got too busy living life and everything else. And I don't know, something just after the first season of High Potential and waiting on whenever the second season started, I was like, okay, what's the next show I need to, and this is before we started the top 100, nominee reveals. Okay, what's the next show I need to be binge watching? And then I had seen this and I'm like, okay, all right, I'll give it a shot. He's not even listed as the head. I mean, is he? Where is Ron? Wow, he's not even listed in the main cast, really? Recurring, wow, okay. So, this show centers around John Dixon is the main guy that brings all the friends together. And he is played by Ron Livingston. Yes, that Ron Livingston. Peter from Office Space, which kind of shocked me because I hadn't seen Ron Livingston do anything since Office Space, honestly. And so that kind of drug me in, and it's a good show. As of this recording, I have finished watching the entire series, and I plan on writing a blog post up about it, about the whole show. Originally I was going to write 5 separate ones about each season. Now I'm just going to write one whole one discussing each season in the whole thing. But it's a really good character driven show. It's on the same level as This Is Us emotionally, as far as like being so emotionally charged and dealing with different emotions and things like that. But I like these characters a lot more than a lot of the characters that came through This Is Us. So that's what I've been watching. What have you been watching?
I mean, I really haven't been watching all that much television.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching a lot of old stuff. Like, we've been watching Full House. My kids have been enjoying it. Like, we started it over from season one.
Okay.
And they get a kick out of it to the point they're enjoying watching it. We're about five episodes in at this point. Nice. And then we've been watching pretty much just movies. I've been watching the Dark Knight trilogy, the Being Eddie. Trying to think what else. I think I've watched the new Superman movie. I watched the Man of Steel. I watched Justice League, or not Justice League, Batman v Superman. But I think I only made it through like halfway, and I forgot what I was watching, and I moved on to The Dark Knight. I'll probably make it back there eventually, but more so I forgot. And yes. Then as very far as like animated stuff, I've been watching stuff to kind of prep for the top 100. Like I started watching Naruto. I've been watching Dragon Ball Super just for fun. Mm-hmm. And then just been trying to kind of watch some of the other shows that are in the top 100 so that I can be prepared at least when they kind of come up. And so I mean, that's pretty much been it outside of trying to gather movie news and figure out when I'm starting MWire and how I want to start it and what episode and what I want to cover in the first one. But I'm almost there. I've got some of it narrowed down.
Very cool. Very cool.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I haven't been doing a whole heck of a lot because I've been trying to edit and get back into the swing of things with getting the nominees episode up and then work and life. Yep. My wife and kid got to go see a concert the other day. They really like Mercy Me.
Okay, cool, cool.
The I Can Only Imagine guy.
Yep.
They're coming out with a new movie in the spring or late winter, February. And it's I Can Only Imagine 2, and it's kind of takes place later. And a lot of the same actors coming back. Anyways, they went to the concert on Thursday and they bought some like crappy seats in the back.
Oh no.
And of the arena that's like 10 minutes from our house. And right. A radio station. This is all comes full circle. I was about to be hired by a radio station around the same time I got hired at the car wash. Uh-huh. And I technically was hired by both.
Oh,
however, the radio station was also a 45-minute drive one way if traffic was good.
Oh,
and yeah, that was part of it. Part of it was I just was like, I don't want to drive that far. And then they couldn't guarantee that I was going to get to work from home 2 to 3 days a week and work from the office like 2 to 3 days. And I was like, okay, like if you can't, like I'm just going to pick somewhere close that I, you know, have some more flexibility. And the funny thing is the car wash was the better option just because they care about their employees and things like that. Right. Whereas this radio station right off the bat showed me that they didn't care.
Oh, no.
During the interview process. And I was like, well, that's an answer, you know, that I'm not going to have to deal with. And anyways, so they bought out an AM station. They were trying to redo it into a, you know, modern station. And they made it funny enough. The number is 101.5. Which was a rock station in Flint. Here it's a Christian rock station. So, it's funny. Anyways, I used to win crap on 101.5 all the time back in Flint. Well, they went to the booth at the arena, which I found out later was the same company that I was supposed to get hired by. And they won front row seat tickets.
Nice.
So they literally were about 6-7 feet from the nice. Band.
That's
and
awesome.
There was nobody in front of them but the band.
But the band, yeah.
So yeah. My wife and youngest had the time of their life that evening.
That's awesome.
So
very cool, very cool.
Yeah. Outside of that, I got to my work computer. I brought it home to work last Wednesday, and Windows decided to take a massive dump.
Technology.
And I was stuck at the perpetual blue screen of death, which I let you know about, but tried everything I know to restore it. I had a boot, flash drive, and everything. Could not restore this drive. The only option was to do a PC reset. Which it sends it back to factory.
Yeah.
Which, don't get me wrong, it had some bloat on it. Like, it was old. It's 2.5 years old. So it was probably due. However, I did not really want to have to go through all that. So luckily I backed it up 2 days before. A lot of my stuff saved in the cloud when I'm editing, but I had to put all my software back on, one of which I had to call a company to have installed because the company that does our point of sale does not let people do it themselves. Like, they have to configure it to authorize the machine to access it. So that was interesting too. But anyways, I wiped it out. I got it all kind of restored. I made sure I didn't add things on there I didn't need. And then the only thing I lost were my bookmarks, which was not a whole terrible thing. I backed them up this time since I added all of them back that I could find, right, and all of my logins. But yeah, it took me like a day to get back up and running for my work PC. So now I'm like behind on everything.
Oh no.
But the what was the most astounding part of it, the video card is a 128 megabyte video card.
Oh boy.
Which megabyte. Not gigabyte, megabyte. My home desktop, not my main machine because it's a GeForce NVIDIA card. Right. My other one came with an integrated Intel graphics processor of 1 gig, and that was in 2011.
Yep.
So I was a little amazed that this laptop had 128 megabyte, which seems wrong.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, because I mean, it does run stuff. It doesn't handle a whole lot as far as memory it's a 24 gig memory on the computer, but it's like the video card is not very good. So it takes forever to spit anything out or to, encode or whatever. And so I'm in hopes I get a new computer soon for work. But and then my son got his first smartphone for his birthday.
Fisher Price for him.
No, he got a Motorola.
Was it a Razor?
No, it's a $100 Motorola. it's the Moto G 2024 edition or something. Yeah. And for what he needs it for, it works. I mean, I have everything heavily locked down parental mode, which if people want to hear about that, I'll go into more detail on it. But for the most part, I have two different sets of apps that prevent him from doing anything he shouldn't.
Yep.
And so he has that now, which he can take to school and he can, use it to let me know where he's at.
Yep.
And he's figured out how to use it pretty decently. Cause I gave him my old Galaxy S5 years ago and it just for play, like it still worked. Like it wasn't hooked up to a cell service. This one is.
Right.
And then, he's enjoying that. So it's been a week.
Yeah, it really, really has. It's been a long week. It's going to be a long week.
So anyways, I think that about rounds this episode out.
Yep.
So let us know what you guys would like to hear on the next episode. Do you want another discussion on something? Do you want some news? Do you want a smattering of both? Let us know in the comment section on geekcastradio.com. You can, of course, find this episode on your favorite podcatcher, Spotify or YouTube or Apple. So any of those options plus more. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
From classic icons to new sci-fi dreams, with every episode we'll unravel the themes. Let's geek out and laugh, keep the spirits high. Together we'll journey, reaching for the sky. Discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Alter Geek Podcast, remember the name.